I'm Derek Russell.
And I'm Brad Locke, and this is The Memo.
A gathering of all things Northeast Mississippi, brought to you by The Daily Journal and DJournal.com.
Welcome in, everybody, to a new episode of The Memo on this Wednesday, April the 6th, 2016. Brad Locke here with you, and thanks for tuning in. And Derek Russell not with us today, so Chris Kiefer, producer Chris Kiefer, is going to fill in for Derek. Derek is like on assignment or writing a story or just got tired of putting up with my crap. I don't know.
A little bit of both, maybe.
Did he quit the show? Is that it? Is that what happened? He quit the show? It's just me?
We'll find out.
Who needs him?
Yeah. We don't need him anyway.
No, we got a good show coming up, people. And today's show, by the way, is sponsored by South, a locally owned restaurant offering fine dining in a casual atmosphere. Check them out on North Gloucester. Yeah, we've got a nice little show put together here, Chris. We've got Bobby Harrison talking about the very controversial House Bill 1523 that was signed by Governor Bryant on Tuesday. We have Jenna Parsons to talk about food, as we do every Wednesday.
And the Masters.
Hey, and we talk a little golf with Jenna, big golf fan.
Her subject.
And we have a special guest today, Chris. We have Trent Harmon himself, the Amory Native and American Idol finalist, one of the three finalists on the last season of that program. It's been running, it seems, forever. And the two-night finale starts tonight on Fox. So, yeah, we got Trent on the phone for a few minutes and gonna hear from him, getting ready for the big to-do out there in Los Angeles. So don't miss that, okay?
Yeah, that's big. That's big to appreciate Trent giving us some of his time. We're going to also try to bring in Daily Journal Religion editor Riley Manning, grew up with Trent, and so maybe they can kind of talk a little bit about their childhood days in Amory, too.
Yeah, exactly. So good stuff coming there. You don't want to miss it. So I guess we'll just start the show. I just don't know what to do without my usual banter with Derek here. I could just talk to his microphone. looking nice today, Derek's mic, all green and whatnot.
Yeah.
I need me one of those green windscreens, spittle catchers, whatever you call them.
Maybe a
red one. What?
I'm just thinking spittle catchers. More spittle catchers would be good since I'm on the other side of the table from the two of you.
Well, for your sake at least. Certainly.
Hey, the Peacemakers. I know we've talked about it a lot.
Probably too much. But
yeah,
that's fine.
Yeah, right. But I got to see it the other day. Monday night, I guess. So I'm working on a video that'll go with Derek. I'll have a story previewing it in tomorrow's paper. But
it opens tomorrow.
It's good. I liked it. Yeah, I'm a Western guy, I guess. So
love a good Western.
So that helped. But yeah, I thought the plot. I didn't get to see the end of it, so I'm kind of on the edge of my seat to find out.
You
got to
buy a ticket now, Chris.
Yeah,
got to come see it this week. It opens tomorrow. The nerves haven't kicked in yet for me. It's my first play. It runs 5 days. So you've got plenty of opportunities. Now, it is a small theater, Claude Gentry. It holds about 90 people. And they're hoping to sell out every show.
7 o'clock?
7 o'clock each night, except Sunday is the matinee at 2. So it's Thursday through Monday.
How much are tickets? Do you know?
$20. And there's a number you can call I don't have in front of me. Yeah. Just look up the Baldwin Main Street Players. You can find them on Facebook. Or look up the Peacemakers.
Probably Claude Gentry Theater, right?
Claude Gentry Theater. And again, we'll have all the info in tomorrow's journal in the scene section.
Yeah. So, we've talked about all this, I know, already. But your first acting experience, I know we talked a little bit off the air, but kind of, has it been what you expected?
It's my first stage production. I've done a little tiny bit of acting, like a couple of workshops and this one short pseudo-documentary last year.
You did a commercial too, huh? Is that the same thing
It wasn't
you're
really a commercial. Yeah. It was kind of something to promote a Palmer Home for Children. But that didn't have any speaking parts. So this has been very educational, I'll tell you that much. I'm working with some people that are just real pros at this, like Amy Gousset and John McHouston, Clark Ritchie, who co-wrote the play with Rex Harson. Mm-hmm. And, I want to try to name everybody, but I'll leave somebody out. But, they've been very encouraging. Jamie Fair, he's done a lot of these people have done a lot of plays and a lot of acting.
Yeah,
very helpful, just helping give me little pointers on how to do this and that. Jonathan Martin, the director, has been very good. Really helps. Jonathan's really helped all of us, including me, especially just kind of see the little subtleties and things that go into acting and conveying, what you're trying to tell the audience even just your movements and expressions and not just your words. So, yeah, it's been pretty cool, and it's something I've always wanted to do. And so now that I'm 40, I guess this is my midlife crisis, doing theater. And, you know, there are worse things you could be doing for a midlife crisis, I suppose.
Jumping out of an airplane or recording a podcast from the steeple of Harrisburg Baptist Church.
We're going to kick that idea around a little bit with the
Yeah, we still need more ideas. Harrisburg we hadn't gotten
we got 100
too many yet,
coming up.
So we haven't settled on it yet, so it's not too late. Email us at memo@journalinc.com.
We still need to consult with Lauren and Ellie and the
and
other
Emma.
People smarter than us about these things. Yeah, 100th episode is coming the 18th?
Monday the 18th, yeah.
So this is number, what, 95? Five.
This is 95.
Okay. Wow. They haven't jerked us off the air yet, Chris. Shocking, I know.
Mm-hmm. Just wait till the FCC gets a hold of this.
Nah. Anyway, let's get to the show. Again, we got Trent Harmon, Jenna Parsons, and Bobby Harrison coming up. Let's go. Okay, let's welcome in Trent Harmon, Amory native and American Idol finalist, so you probably know the name. Trent, welcome to the show. How you doing?
Hey, man, I'm doing well. Good to hear from you.
And if people have been following along, obviously they know that you're a finalist, one of the final three contestants, and also they probably know that you made J-Lo cry, which I think that's usually a shoe on the other foot kind of thing. So if nothing else, even if you don't win, Trent, you've got that in your back pocket.
Which is never a bad thing to have in your back pocket.
No, man. Anyway, I just kind of want to ask you to think back a little bit to when you first started, when you tried out for American Idol, and then you got the ticket to go to Hollywood. How far did you really expect to go?
I expected to go audition for the show, and I really didn't plan past that. You know, it's funny because I looked at a picture of me on the day that I did that, and I just looked so silly. You know, I'm just walking around, smiling, playing guitar, just ignorant. You know, I have no idea what's about to happen. And I look back at it like 3 or 4 times a day and just laugh my head off because I just look dumb to the whole world, you know, to think that this was going to happen.
Well, you look pretty comfortable up there on stage now, Trent. How has that gone for you? You seem very at ease when you're up there.
It hasn't been easy, I promise you that. It's not easy to look easy. But it's, you know, I realized 2 weeks ago, I think it was two or three weeks ago, that I wasn't, in the middle of a song, I wasn't slobbering and spitting all over the microphone and my hands weren't sweaty. And I thought, in real time, I said, I'm not nervous. I'm not anxious. I'm just up here singing. And I think that, you know, that's kind of a telltale sign that I've gotten used to performing in front of large groups of people. And so that's a good thing, you know.
I want to ask you a little bit about some of the songs that you've sung. Obviously, being a Mississippi guy and a Southerner, you've kind of chosen some songs by, like, you know, ZZ Top, Lynyrd Skynyrd, Chris Stapleton. Is that more just because that's the kind of music you grew up on, or is that music that you think just kind of fits you well?
Both, man. You know, it's so nice that Idol really allows us to be part of the creative process of choosing our songs because, you know, post-Idol, you know, when I make a record, it's going to be similar to what I've been doing on the show. So it's really a blessing to be able to sing those songs because that's what's on my phone right now.
Yeah.
You know, that's what I listen to in the shower every day. And so it's really just been a blessing to be able to do those songs because when I make a record, I'm not going to have to go do something, you know, out of left field. You know, these are really this is me. You know, if you've enjoyed the songs that I've sung and that I perform, that's good, because that's me.
We got another Amory native in here, just walked in the room, one of my colleagues, Riley Manning. I think you may know him.
Sup, dude?
I'm not familiar with the name, man. I'm not sure.
You done got the big head.
What are you doing, Possum Face?
You done got the big head, Possum Face. Nothing, man. What's up?
What are you doing? Man, that's my homie right there. That's my day one best friend. Shoot, man, Riley, we done been friends like 10 years. We done got old enough to say stuff like that.
Dude, we're so old. My high school reunion is next year. I can't wait to not go.
Wow.
So y'all grew up together.
Oh, man.
Yeah, we met in, I guess, my junior year of high school and just hit it off and kept tight ever since. So it was, you know, kind of history.
Yeah, we didn't really have any reason to stay friends because, I mean, we were in different grades. I don't really know what the common denominator was, but we just always stayed tight.
Yep.
Still are.
So kind of looking back on it now, did you ever think, when you tried out for Idol, did you think you would get on the show? And then when you got on the show, did you ever think you would make it this far?
I'm recorded somewhere stating that all I wanted was to make it far enough that maybe they put my handle to some of my socials on the show, on screen, and that my goal was to get 100 YouTube followers, subscribers.
Nice.
And I was just convinced a year ago that if I could get 100 YouTube subscribers, that the ball would really start rolling. You know, like that's really going to be what helps me make it. And looking back, I'm really glad that that was my goal, because if this had all not happened, I would have, not been so let down. But I don't know, man. That just kind of shows you how ignorant I was to this whole process.
You got the 2-day finale coming up, Trent, and just kind of want to ask you, what do you expect? I know it's the last Idol, so it's a huge deal, but what's kind of your focus going into this? You and two other contestants, LaPortia Renee, and the other kid whose name I can't pronounce.
old Dalton Rapitone. Hey, that's my homeboy, too. But I'm not going to change a whole lot. Just drink plenty of water, get plenty of rest, and learn your songs. And real quick before I get off of here, I put up a thank you video to all of Tupelo, Amory, Columbus, and it doesn't have anything to do with the show. It doesn't have anything to do with Bodie. It's on my Facebook. It's on my Instagram bio. It's about 1 minute long, and I want people to go watch it. It's just a thank you video. It's less than a minute long, and I want people to go watch it. It pretty much says all that I need to say, in about 50 seconds. So, and remember to vote Wednesday, not Thursday.
Right.
This week we vote on Wednesday night, and let's finish strong.
All right. We got a lot of fans down here, Trent, and across the country too, man. Appreciate you taking a few minutes with us, and best of luck with Idol and whatever comes next for you.
All right. Y'all take care. All right, Riley Cat. Love you bunches, man.
See you, bud. Later.
All right. Thanks, Trent.
Buddy. Bye.
And again, the 2-night finale starts tonight on Fox at 7 o'clock, 7 o'clock again on Thursday. That's when they'll crown the winner. And again, it's Trent Harmon, of course, who's from Amory. Another Mississippi kid, LaPortia Renee from down in Macomb. And then Dalton Rapitone. Is he the one from Texas? I'm trying to remember. Anyway, he's the non-Mississippian in the group. So we got a 2 out of 3 chance of having a Magnolia State native winning, which is pretty darn cool. And also, be sure to follow Trent on Twitter at Trent W. Harmon. He's gotten quite the following on not just on YouTube. He's definitely got the subscribers, the 100 subscribers and then some, I guess. Also has a large Twitter following. He's very active on there, so check him out. It's going to be a cool deal, so check it out tonight and tomorrow on Fox. Let's go down to Jackson and speak with Bobby Harrison, Capital Bureau Chief for the Journal. Welcome back, Bobby. How's it going?
Hey, Brad, how you doing?
Pretty well, man. Well, Bobby, Mississippi's back in the spotlight, and maybe not for the best of reasons, depending on who you speak with. Governor Phil Bryant signing into law on Tuesday a bill that would allow people to deny service to gays on religious grounds, mainly like circuit clerks issuing marriage licenses and, maybe bakers making wedding cakes, that sort of thing. And we've seen a lot of blowback on that already, haven't we, Bobby?
Yeah, Governor Bryant said he was going to study the bill before he made a decision, and he got the bill, I guess, late Monday or early Tuesday. So he studied it. He's a quick study.
Yeah.
He had it signed by mid-morning. I really thought he would take longer than that, and I actually thought with such powerful groups as the Mississippi Manufacturers Association coming out against it. I mean, the Manufacturers Association is really sort of his core base of support of the Republican Party. And for when that group came out against it, I thought there was a chance that he might veto it. But I was, of course, roaming that count, and the blowback was pretty quick. You had states announced they were banning all not essential travel to Mississippi. I'm not sure what essential travel to Mississippi is for some of these states. But you had that kind of reaction. You had reaction from business groups. His name escapes me now, as you know, but the Microsoft head, he even spoke out against it. So,
Bill Gates, that guy?
No, the other one. Not Bill Gates, but the guy's in charge now.
Oh, okay.
And so there was some pretty quick reaction. But, you know, the flip side of that, this is probably still popular with the majority of Mississippians. So I guess he might have been looking at it from that standpoint. And so we'll just see what happens next.
Yeah, Bryant said in a statement that the reason he signed House Bill 1523 was he wanted to protect, quote, sincerely held religious beliefs and moral convictions of individuals, organizations, and private associations from discriminatory action by state government or its political subdivisions. Of course, a lot of people that oppose this law say that the law is discriminating against homosexuals. So I don't know if this is one of those issues where you're just not going to find I don't know if you're going to find a middle ground with this, Bobby.
Well, the final ground, wherever that is, on whatever side it is, it will be decided by the courts. This obviously is going to go to the court. And Brett, Senator Hoppe-Ryan made this point, and some other people too. You know, to a large extent, a lot of the bill is sort of a solution looking for a problem, if you will. Mississippi does not have laws on the books to deal with saying that a business has to serve any particular person. I mean, that's federal law, and whatever Mississippi does on that, if the federal law decides, the federal officials decide to get involved with it, state law doesn't matter. But right now, there's no law on the books saying that businesses in Mississippi have to serve particular people. I mean, in states where you hear about that happening with, say, wedding cake makers, I mean, or whatever, these states have laws on the books saying that, you know, you can't discriminate against gay couples or whatever. But Mississippi doesn't have a law like that that they had to overturn. This was not an issue. Now, the clerks issuing the marriage license, you know, that could be an issue, but it's going to create a bigger issue now, some people would contend, because you're going to have people running for the office of circuit clerk in a lot of counties, and the issue is going to be, the campaign is going to be, well, I signed the religious objection, but you didn't, so vote for me instead of my opponent. So, I mean, it's creating a whole new set of problems that didn't exist in Mississippi to begin with.
So this is supposed to take effect. This law is supposed to take effect July 1st. I know the ACLU is obviously getting in on the opposition to this. In the AP story we had today, Eric Fleming, director for the Mississippi chapter of ACLU, said they're still gathering troops. Well, what kind of reaction are we expecting in the coming weeks here?
I'm no attorney, and I didn't sleep at a Holiday Inn Express last night, but I think there's I think they can, you know, go to court to try to preempt the strike to try to prevent the law from ever taking effect. I mean, I think that's a possibility. I mean, or they could find someone to go into a circuit clerk's office in whatever, you know, name a rural county in the state, and they're denied the marriage license, and that would be a legal issue like it was, if you recall, a few months ago with the clerk in Kentucky that refused to issue a marriage license. And the Supreme Court ultimately said, you know, somebody in your office has to do that. And that's what, you know, I presume that's what would happen in Mississippi. So we'll see.
You had a column today, Bobby, kind of talking about how this bill made its way through the legislative chambers. And we may have talked about this a little bit on Monday, but basically that bill just about died in committee, and now
on deadline day, I don't have my column in front of me. It escaped me what the deadline day was. It was a couple of weeks ago for the deadline of the bill to make it out of committee, and the committee, Judiciary Aid Committee and Senate had a meeting that morning. Didn't bring the bill up, so, and it was the committee chair did not call it on a meeting that day, so we all presumed the bill was dead because he wasn't going to meet again. There was no way he'd get out of his committee before the deadline.
And yeah, that was that was March 22nd, so about 2 weeks ago. Yeah.
Yeah. So on late that afternoon, the Senate met, and the chair's Sean Tindall, a Republican from Gulfport, called a meeting of the committee, and so they met about 5 o'clock or a little thereafter. Brought the bill up. He said, you know, he didn't want any amendments offered to it, so it passed out of his committee without any amendments. And then on the floor, he did himself offer one amendment to take out a particularly unusual aspect of the bill, that the original bill had language in it that would, the state is, and local governments are, have what's is called sovereign immunity. So if somebody sues the state or the local government, they're limited on how much damages they can recoup. So say, in a police chief or the police were negligent or kills an innocent bystander, the family of that bystander is limited on the amount of damages they can collect in the civil lawsuit. But this bill lifted that sovereign immunity for people who felt they were wronged by involved with people who refused to offer services for same-sex marriage and they were forced to by the government. This bill would have lifted that sovereign immunity, so they could have actually gotten more money from the state, if you will, than someone who was killed by the state. So that was in the bill originally, but that was Tyndall took that section out on an amendment on the Senate floor later in the process.
Well, this issue is going to be around a while. We'll keep following it. Real quick before we let you go, let's touch real quick on the tax cut proposal.
That's a
little convoluted debate on the House floor was there. Jeff Smith from Columbus, the Ways and Means chairman, basically saying that passing the tax cut would leave alive the possibility of increasing taxes to help with road and bridge improvements. Of course, I believe a bill for that died Tuesday. So I'm trying to make sense of that.
Yeah, he seems to think that he can use this bill, the tax cut bill, that came out of the Senate that had, a broad-based tax cut that was passed early by the Senate with strongly supported by Lieutenant Governor Tate Reeves that, reduces a tax for businesses called a franchise tax. It reduces a personal income tax, and does a couple other things. Now, the House amended that bill just to have a smaller income tax cut, but Smith also talks about maybe this can be used to provide additional revenue for roads and bridges. I'm not sure that that's possible, but that's what he says. But the thing about the House proposal is it takes more money out of it. While it's a smaller, in the long run, it's a smaller tax cut than when the Senate passed it. I mean, it takes more money out of the general fund earlier than the Senate proposal does. So, I mean, there's just so many moving parts on this tax issue. The bill was amended on the House floor to say it couldn't go into effect unless there was a lottery enacted first. So, I mean, it's just a lot of bizarre moving parts. How this thing's going to play out in the final couple of weeks is just really difficult to predict. My best guess would be there may not be any type of tax cut or tax increase. And probably not a lottery either.
Yeah. Oh, that's too bad. Yeah. All right, Bobby, good stuff. And y'all follow Bobby on Twitter, by the way, at BobbyHarrison9. And we'll talk to you again soon, Bobby.
All right, y'all take care.
Mm-hmm. Be sure to check out the Daily Journal's Capitol View webcast each Monday afternoon at djournal.com. Capitol Bureau Chief Bobby Harrison provides commentary and analysis on the issues being debated by Mississippi lawmakers. You can watch live each Monday afternoon at 2 o'clock. Or catch the replay later in the day. New episodes will be released as long as the legislature is in session. Time now for today's news memo, and for more on these stories, read the Daily Journal or visit djournal.com. After more than a five-month hiatus, commercial air service has returned to Tupelo. Contour Airlines began flying customers between Tupelo and Nashville on Tuesday. CEO Matt Chaffetz said the company has already sold more than 1,000 tickets. It is currently offering one-way tickets for $18.99 if they are purchased by April 30th. After that, tickets will be $49 one-way. They can be purchased online at contourairlines.com or by calling 1-888-33-CONTOUR.
Churches could soon let some members carry guns inside to protect the congregation under a bill heading to Governor Phil Bryant. House Bill 786 would allow places of worship to designate members to undergo firearms training and carry guns to protect the congregation. The bill would also allow people to carry guns and holsters without a concealed weapons permit. The House voted 85-35 on Tuesday to send the bill to Bryant.
Three major initiatives will bring changes to Blue Mountain College over the next 7 years. The college's Board of Trustees has approved a $12 million long-range plan. Grow BMC involves a review of all academic programs, expansion of athletic teams, and expansion of extracurricular activities. It is designed to grow the university and improve the quality of its academics and student activities. It also prioritizes pay raises for faculty and staff. The completion of the plan will coincide with the college's 150th anniversary in 2023.
The Tupelo City Council has set a date for a special election on the major thoroughfare program. Voters will decide on May 3rd whether to renew the special tax levy that funds new road construction. The program is funded by a 10-mil tax levy that voters may choose to renew or reject every 5 years. If approved, it would generate $20 million over the next 5 years. About $15 million would go toward new road projects, and about $5 million would be used for maintenance of existing roads.
Lee County supervisors have agreed to donate a total of $250,000 over the next 5 years to the Salvation Army. The money will be used for the construction of new local facilities, including a homeless shelter. The donation from Lee County will provide half of the remaining cash needed for what is estimated to be a $2.5 million project. About $2 million had previously been raised from private donations and a tentative agreement from the City of Tupelo. The Salvation Army's Red Shield Lodge is about 30 years old, and officials say it is insufficient to meet local needs. Hey, today's show is sponsored by South. It's a locally owned restaurant right here in Tupelo, offering fine dining in a casual atmosphere. A lot of things going on at the South, Chris.
Yeah, you know, they've had a new chef, Nick Rice. I know he's introduced a new lunch, new dinner menu, new lunch menu. They added a weekend brunch on Saturdays and Sundays.
And they've got something called the Bellini Mimosa Bar every Saturday, the only one in Tupelo. I don't know what that is, honestly, but it sounds fun.
Yeah, they've got what you do is you can order drinks, $3. They take the champagne to the table, okay, and then the customer can mix their own Bellini or mimosa. They've got 12 to 15 different flavored homemade simple syrups and fresh fruits on the farm table, such as a strawberry kiwi Bellini, peach and mint Bellini, blood orange mimosa, grapefruit pineapple.
No, I'm thirsty.
Yeah, no kidding.
Speaking of drinking, check out the happy hour specials each weeknight. And trivia. Hey, if you're into trivia like I am, I have lots of useless trivia in my head. I need to go check this out. Trivia begins at 7 p.m. every Wednesday. The winner gets a $50 gift card. So how about that? So check out South in Tupelo right there on North Gloucester.
And speaking of South, we now stay on the subject of food and go to Jenna Parson, Daily Journal food editor.
It's Wednesday. That means it's food day. That means Jenna Parsons is here with us. Hello again, Jenna. How are you?
I'm good, Brad. How are you?
I'm swell. Thank you. Thank you. Thanks for talking with us. Got a couple of things to talk about from the food section in today's journal. Y'all can read these stories in the Wednesday Journal or at djournal.com. Let's start with the cook of the week, Miss Lisa Collins from Shannon, retired teacher, so I guess all she does is cook, right?
Well, no. She taught for almost 30 years. She taught in Lee County schools for 14 and mm-hmm. Tupelo schools for 15,
okay. And
retired from public education, but now she is, and I would have to go back and look at the exact title, but independent educational sales representative and literacy consultant. So she's still in, she goes into schools and she travels a lot, but she's not like in a classroom.
Okay.
But she does have a little time to cook. She, as I said, she travels a lot, but she loves to cook, especially on the weekends.
Mm, okay.
And she just told me one story after the other, all food related and
really? All
really happy memories about growing up on a farm and these huge spreads they would put out, and then cooking in college, she and her girlfriend would cook for, of all people, Bill Benson. And so they ate together almost every night, and even after everybody married, they still continued to have meals together.
Okay. For those who don't know, Bill Benson, Lee County Chancery Clerk.
So, right,
yeah,
right.
So there you go. Okay, so What's her specialty, or what's she known for?
Well, she made this huge banana pudding. I mean, it's enough to feed as Miss Phyllis used to say, Cox's Army. But this is what she takes when, okay, we'll do Cox's Army another week.
I don't even know who that is. who's General Cox? I don't.
We'll talk about that another week. Okay. I'll have to brush up on the facts before I tell that story.
It's a big
story.
Army, apparently.
It is.
Gotcha.
When someone in the community or in her family dies, she takes the banana pudding, but she also makes a sour cream pound cake. Mm. And when she goes around to these schools that she goes into now as a sales rep, she takes her sour cream pound cake. But she can cook just about anything. She says she's not a fancy cook, mm-hmm. but when she told me what she puts out at the holidays, it's she said this, and it literally is everything that your grandmother would ever make, and she makes it all and puts it out there for the family so that they have good food memories like she does.
So she brings pound cake on sales calls, basically.
Right.
Bam. Sale made. I don't care what you're selling, I'm buying. Okay, that's Lisa Collins, Cook of the Week. Read about her in the food section. And you had a column, as you do every week, Jenna. It's about wedge salads. I don't eat salad, really, so I don't know what this is. It's a salad with some kind of wedges in it?
No.
Lemon wedges?
The dreaded iceberg lettuce.
Mm, okay.
Wedge salads are made with iceberg lettuce. And when I was growing up, iceberg lettuce, that's all we had. That's all you could find. Hmm. But it's not particularly nutritious. I mean, it is roughage, but it's not that dark leafy green like the spring greens or kale or spinach that you can get now.
Right.
And it had fallen out of fashion for many years because of its non-nutritious reputation. But now, over about the last 10 years, it's come back as a wedge. And you know what a head of iceberg lettuce looks like, right?
Yeah.
It's kind of the pale greenish one in a ball in the grocery store.
Yeah.
Well, you cut it in half, and then you cut the halves in half, and so you have wedges.
I'm not going to understand that.
And you make a delicious dressing to go on it, which is also in the recipe, this buttermilk dressing, and you drizzle this dressing over it, and then you can sprinkle it with bacon and cheese. Mm. And
bacon makes everything good.
It is, but the iceberg is so crispy, and it's so fresh tasting, and the dressing, of course, is what makes it, with buttermilk and sour cream and mayonnaise and garlic. And
okay,
I think you would like the salad.
Okay, yeah, like I said, it's not filling for me. So if I have a salad, it'll be as a side thing, but I just don't eat it.
Well, this is a side thing, but this is even showing up on, fancy restaurants menus, these wedge salads.
Okay. Go ahead, Chris.
Jenna, before you go, I want to ask, who do you like in the Masters this weekend?
I'm not going to go there because Charlie and I used to have this bet, and we would each pick a player, and whoever lost had to do the dishes. And so I'm not going to say publicly who I'm supporting because I don't want to have to do the dishes.
I don't follow golf that much anymore. I'm just going to say Jordan Spieth because he's winning everything now.
He won the Masters last year.
Exactly.
He's got a really good shot.
Two or three majors last year. Yeah.
He won two majors last year. Okay. Phil Mickelson has won a couple of times, and Charlie always likes Phil, and I like Phil. But I think Dustin Johnson, who's not my favorite golfer, but he's just been on fire the last few tournaments.
He's won this once before, hadn't he, the Masters? Was that him? Or no, I'm thinking of Zach Johnson, perhaps.
I would have to go back and
won the Masters
and
a few
look
years ago.
Because I have a list of everybody who's invited to the Masters and why.
Yeah.
The ones that have won the Masters, of course, are automatically invited back. And then there are all sorts of reasons why you can be invited to the tournament. So we're going to be able to see all 4 days of it. So we'll be able to see the 2 days before the cut. So
okay. For those who don't know, Jenna's a huge golf fan. I don't watch it as much. I'll watch the Masters. I don't watch much beyond that.
I have never played around, never swung a club other than to just practice putting. Hmm. But I could watch it all day and all night.
Tiger, he's not going to be healthy enough to ever win again. I wish he would be, but I just don't see it happening, unfortunately.
Zach Johnson won in 2007.
Zach Johnson.
Thank you, Chris.
Which is 2 years after Tiger's last championship.
Why has it been that long?
Wow. It kind of says how long for each of them.
Man.
So you can't say who you think's going to win. Can you say who you hope is going to win? Or is that part of it, too?
Well, I don't want to jinx anybody. Not that what some little woman from Tupelo, Mississippi thinks is going to jinx anything. But I like Jordan a lot. I like Rory. I like Ricky. talking about Rory McIlroy and Ricky Fowler. And, of course, love Phil. We went to see Phil play last summer when he was in Memphis. Mm. And I got close enough to touch him but didn't because I was scared too.
What about, hold on, CC, I followed golf pretty closely in the 90s. What about Colin Montgomery? Is he in the field? Colin Montgomery? Ernie, you know, Els? Ernie Els in the field?
Ernie is in the field about because Jose Maria Olazabal.
Is he in the field? I always love hearing Jim Nantz say his name.
A lot of these guys are now in the seniors tour.
Wow, it's been a while since I've watched.
Well, yeah, Colin Montgomery plays in the seniors tour, although I don't know if he's ever won the Masters.
For all I knew, he was dead. I haven't heard his name in years.
He's not dead.
Okay. Hopefully, maybe.
Well, you'll have to watch it so you can hear him say Louis Oosthuizen.
Oh yeah, Oosthuizen.
That's a good name.
Yeah. What about Retief Goosen? He's still a deal, thing.
No, I haven't. I think Retief.
Davis Love the third.
He still plays.
Yeah. Okay. He's got to be on the senior tour by now.
No, Davis Love the third. I don't think he is. Are you thinking of John Daly?
No, I'm thinking of Davis Love the third. He came on the scene like back in the 80s. He's pretty old. He was that guy who was really good but could never win a major. He was like the Phil Mickelson of the 80s.
That would be like Greg Norman.
Oh, Greg Norman.
Yeah.
Is he still playing? He's just busy making hats.
He doesn't play at all. He used to be my pick for every tournament. he would always get right there, and then he would just
choke. Poor thing.
It was awful.
Yeah, he's still richer than we are. So.
Oh, yes.
Anyway, this interview's gone on way too long. So, thanks, Jennifer, for talking with us about food and golf. Very pleasant. I enjoyed it. I mean, I could talk all day here about this, but other people might want to hear something else.
All right.
Thanks, Jenna.
Thank you.
Well, once again, need to remind you that today's show is sponsored by South, a locally owned restaurant offering fine dining in a casual atmosphere. You can try their cheap date night every Tuesday when the restaurant offers two meals for the price of one. That includes salads, sides, dessert, and beer or wine, all for just $25 at South. And that's a wrap for the show, Chris.
Yeah, good show today.
We did fine without Derek Russell. I mean, when you got Trent Harmon on the show, I mean, what else do you need?
It helps. Who needs Derek?
Who needs Derek? No. Yeah. We miss him. He's busy.
We need him anyway.
Tell your friends about the memo and tell them how easy it is to listen to us on iTunes, your podcast app, memo.djournal.com. It's free and it's easy. So you got no reason not to. And we're here 3 days a week, Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, if you're a new listener. Usually these episodes drop in the mid-afternoon hours.
Yeah, and for anybody that's only been listening to us through the website, I definitely encourage you to check us out in iTunes or podcast apps.
Yeah, that's the easiest way.
You've got the podcast app on your phone. There's also apps like Stitcher and Satchel Radio and Player.fm, but the advantage there is you can subscribe for free, but what subscribing just means is they push all the episodes to you automatically. And then it's also a little bit easier, I think, to stream it through your phone when you're exercising or driving or whatever through the app rather than on the Memo website.
Right, right. And you can keep up with the show on Twitter at DJournalMemo. That's also a way to find out when new episodes are uploaded. And be sure to check out djournal.com for all your news, sports, and entertainment in Northeast Mississippi. And you can follow the Journal on Twitter at djournalnow. I'm on Twitter at Brad Locke. Chris is on Twitter at Chris Kiefer. And that's it. We'll be back on Thursday tomorrow. I guess Derek will be here. If not, we won't have Trent Harmon again, I don't suppose. But
we can still carry it.
We can do it. Be sure to check out Trent tonight on American Idol. I believe they're going down to the top two tonight, as I understand it.
Yeah. So.
And then the Thursday is that's it.
So your votes will be very much important to him, especially as it gets closer. You know, I mean, I think there was some belief early on that he was going to be one of the top candidates one of the top contestants, I should say. And while your vote certainly helped, he probably had a pretty good margin. But the margin is getting a lot slimmer, so vote counts more.
I saw online yesterday like the odds were like somebody's putting out odds on this. No surprise, he's like the favorite at 4-1 odds to win this thing. But as Trent noted during the interview, be sure to vote today.
Yeah,
vote early.
And of course, you've got another Mississippian, as we talked about on the
LaPorsche Renee
interview, but. But, she's really talented, too. And
if you can't win, then, I mean, I've heard her sing. She is amazing.
She's good. She is.
And then the other kid, who I feel bad I didn't wasn't able to pronounce his name right the first time. Dalton.
Dalton.
Dalton. We'll just call him Dalton. Good-looking kid. I'm sure, you know, if he wins, he deserves it too. But anyway, at 7 o'clock on Fox tonight. We'll be back, like I said, again tomorrow. And I guess we'll probably talk a little bit about what happened with Idol with Trent Harmon. So until then, y'all have a wonderful Wednesday.